Holy Ghost is up to something at Landmark, and I want all of us to be a part of it. And He is conditioning us for what He's up to. And I think He's up to great revival. Amen. Church growth, evangelism. Praise the Lord. Amen. So without any more delay, let's look to the Word of God. Amen. Search through your Bibles and find Proverbs chapter 22, and we'll read verses 17 through 21. Amen. Bow down thine ear. In other words, listen very closely and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart. In other words, we're not here to hear the word and for it not to affect our hearts, but we're here tonight to hear it, but most importantly, to let it affect our heart. Amen. And He said, unto my knowledge. I believe the Lord's telling us through one of the wisest men in the world that I've told this man something and I want you to hear it. It is a pleasant thing if you keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in your lips. That thy trust, somebody shout trust. Say it again. Say it again. Guess what we're going to talk about? Say it again. That thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to you this day, even to you. He said it twice, same verse. I made it known to you, even to you. Don't act like a stranger to this doctrine. Don't be acting like a stranger to what I'm up to and what's supposed to be preached and taught and all that good stuff. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make you know the certainty of the words of truth? I want to make you know the certainty, not me, God saying this. I want to make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you might answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. In other words, those that want to talk to you, those that are inviting you, those that want to, that I might make you know the certainty. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so here's what we're going to talk about. Trusting Him. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, trust Him. Amen. When you say something like that, you're saying something like, He's got this. He's got this. All right. And so let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask God to walk with us through this Bible study. And let's weave something that can be very constructive in our relationship with God. What do you say? Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, let the will of God be done tonight. Let the Spirit of God move and let the presence of the Lord prevail. We ask, Lord, for your touch because we need it so much. We ask you, Master, in the name of the Lord, to let the Word of God sink indelibly into our hearts in such a way, in such a fashion, until we cannot help but believe it, receive it, and stand on it. Somebody say, in Jesus' name, amen. God richly bless you as you're seated just now. Reverend J.T. Payne, an outstanding Bible scholar and a teacher, pastored many years. He passed from this life in October 7, 1987. Shortly after his death, there was a note that was found in his Bible. And this Bible, this note that was found, I found. And I want to share it with you so you can say you found it too. Amen. He said, trust is a dimension beyond faith. Trust is a dimension beyond faith. Faith will see miracles, but trust will carry you through when you can't understand why faith didn't work as of yet. Not always can faith deliver from the den of lions, but it's trust that will be able to keep you in the den of lions. Not only faith will deliver you from the valley of the shadow of death, but he said in his note, trust will carry you through the valley. And so we're talking about trusting him tonight. Amen. Praise God. When the fireworks aren't going off, when you can't see the answer. One fellow said, weeping may endure for a night, which is scripture, but joy cometh in the morning. But what that fellow said, how long is the night? And sometimes those nights can go for a long time. Amen. But just because it's not happening according to your schedule and according to your game plan and according to what you think it should be, listen, you don't control this. God controls this. And so what do we do? Amen. So let's go deep with this, shall we? Amen. What is trust? Since our subject is found in both Testaments, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, I want you to give me time and space to present you the root words that belong to it and the base things that go along with faith and trust. And we're going to compare the two, and we're going to share the two. We're not going to take one element from the other, but we're going to understand that there's no faith without trust, and there's no trust without faith, but you've got to have both. As a young minister and a young preacher, I've always preached that faith is simply trust. But trust is a little more than faith. And I want to share that with you here tonight. Amen. Trust is not an inherent characteristic, and it is not a trait of man. You're born with faith. If you ask someone to pray for you that you could get you some faith, you ask amiss. Because you were born with a level of faith. Do you know what's going to grow your faith? Trust. Amen. And I want to tell you something about that word trust. You're only one letter away from rust. I like to play with words like that. But it's true. Amen. The longer you go without trusting him, amen. It's one thing to stand and declare. I saw a man one time, he wanted deliverance from glasses so bad. I guess his vision was so bad and he hated glasses until I saw him standing at the altar and he declared so much faith in God, he took his glasses off and just stomped them in the carpet. After service, it was awesome. Somebody was leading him to the back door. Well, he just didn't have enough faith. No, he didn't have enough trust. He may not come when you want him, but he'll always come right on time. And whatever he delivers was the perfect will of God. Amen. And so we trust him. We have faith. We know what we want. We know what we're believing God for. Yet we trust him for what he will do. Can we say amen? Praise the Lord. So, you know, due to Adam's fall, subsequently plunging us all into an abyss of sin, man rather inherited distrust rather than trust. From the very beginning, they did not trust God. And to this day, man will have trouble with trusting in his God. Why? Because Satan lied to Adam and Eve about both spiritual and physical death. Nothing creates distrust quicker than deceit. And this is exactly what Satan did to Adam and Eve along with the rest of the human race. He deceived them. One of Satan's greatest ploys, one of his greatest plots, and most effective tactic is that of causing man not to trust God. In essence, he says, you can't believe what God says. Now, he's not going to just straight out tell you that. But he's going to play a game till he gets you to the point that you do not trust God any longer. To Eve, he said, you shall not surely die. And she did not die a physical death, but she died a spiritual one. When she walked out of the garden with her husband, she no longer had what she had in the past with God, did she? She died to that. Amen. And so God has emphatically stated otherwise. Amen. Resulting from listening to Satan comes the distinct inherent problems of blatant distrust toward everything and everybody. Praise God. Amen. And say, so from such a nature and a background, we have got to simply back away. Let's look at God's Word. That's always a good place to start. Studying the track record of someone or something in which to possibly trust can become a basic for your decision. Amen. It's good to have people you trust. It's good to have people you have confidence in. But it's always better to have more trust in God and greater confidence in the Word of God. And I say that as a man standing up here hoping that you can trust me. Praise God. I'm just simply telling you, nothing gets greater than trusting God and trusting His Word. And I'll tell you something too. He won't put you on an island by yourself and speak things to you that He's not speaking to everyone else. There is no private interpretation for your life and everyone else's life. Amen. Somebody said, I can't go there because that's a cookie cutter church. You can call it whatever you want to. But God wants us walking the same, looking the same, acting the same, praising the same, worshiping the same. And I have no problem with that. Amen. And so it is. We need to understand. We don't diverge into the Word of God to find things that fit and cycle it and recycle it and make it fit wherever we are at this present time. Your Bible and my Bible is one of the most valuable instructors available to teach you how and whom you trust. Amen. Praise God. They're stepping stones. Now, I'd like you to write this down or either at least get a CD and continue to listen to this or whatever. But they're stepping stones to trust that are established in the Word of God. Amen. All right. Can we get Proverbs 22:17-21 once again? Could we put that up? I want to dissect it just a little bit. I apologize. That wasn't in the mix. But A, we are to lend our ear and hear the words of the wise. Hearing God's word is a prerequisite to great faith. Hear it. Don't just listen, but hear it. I heard Pastor's word last night, but it's not doing anything, really. Let's grow faith in what we heard. Amen. Faith is a prerequisite to trust. And the reason it comes before trust is because, once again, you're born with faith. Trust comes after faith. Amen. First, in our journey, we've got to hear God's word and be confident in it. B, we're to apply our hearts unto God's knowledge. Apply your heart to His knowledge. His knowledge will not match yours. And I'm telling you right now, our knowledge will not even come close to matching His. Don't try that. Amen. Just believe the Word of God and act according. Truth must enter into our heart and be believed and as accepted as fact. See, The retention, not just the hearing and the seeing and the listening, but the retention of the word, grabbing it, holding it, nurturing it, and keeping it. The retention of the word of God is essential. It must be kept within and hidden our hearts. And then D, they withal shall be fitted in your lips. Verse number 18 tells us, God's word must then be spoken verbally and mentally in our self-talk. When you're reasoning with yourself, I've got Bible for this. when God said, let us make man in our own image, he was not talking to a future son that was sitting beside him. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that God reasons with himself. Just much like if you were going to build a cabinet, or if you were going to repair the car, or if you were going to paint a house, you would say, let's look at this here. Let's think about this. You're not talking to another individual. You're reasoning with yourself. So when problems come up, situations come up, rather than running to and fro in a scurry and all messed up in your mind, hallelujah, why don't we just stop and reason with the Word of God that we have? Reason with the Bible that we have in our hands, and reason with our faith, and then reason with our trust. Amen. There is no magic wand. Bing! But there is a Bible. And it works. Praise God. Amen. And so, you know, and this is going to come from your lips and reasoning with every difficulty, every situation. I'll tell you right now, if you come to me for counseling, I love you for that. That's why I'm here. I want to talk. Your time's my time, anytime. Amen. But I'm not going to counsel you out of the Word of God. Hello? I'm not going to make up stuff. Praise God. I'm just to make it fit and make you comfortable and or whatever. I hope the Word of God makes you comfortable, but if it doesn't, you need to see that you need to get back and match the Word of God. Let's look at personal experience. Serving God will bring encounters with all types of experiences. From these, you will learn to trust God. Let every experience that you go to, whether it's good, bad, happy, sad, up, down, or all around, let every experience teach you one thing, and that is to trust God. Amen. Trials will teach you. Sickness will teach you. Hurts and pain will teach you. Disappointments, I can go on and on. They will not destroy you if you are determined to be saved, and they will develop you in a deep, abiding sense of confidence in God and trust. How many of us could use a little bit more? My hand up first. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. After nearly 40 years of leading Israel, David is reflecting upon his many battles. Many battles knew whom he could unquestionably, he knew after all of that, that no, without a question he could trust God. Remember, he had been betrayed by a son, trusted counselors that led him in a wrong direction, friends, but he could only say this about his God, in him will I trust. He's my shield. He said he's my horn of salvation. He said he's my high tower. He's my refuge, and he's my Savior. He said, thou savest me from violence. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I could talk from personal experience after walking with God some over 40 years. Amen. And I can unreservedly say, I trust God. He has never, ever failed me. Amen. Let's look at instruction. Praise God. Arriving at the point of being able to trust God could be accomplished so much quicker if we would only learn from others. You can learn from others. Amen. If I'm just saying, folks, if you let experience be your only college professor, you're going to learn. But honey, you're going to have some battle scars. So why don't you learn from some of those that have already been scarred in that area so you won't have to be. Amen. And I'm not saying drain them, try to get a word from them. There's no word. There's no great wisdom. You say, well, why are you still here after going through that? Because they learned to trust Him. We have people here that have been here now for many years. And I am so excited about that, because not only are you trusting God, but you can be trusted. Not only do you believe in God, He can believe in you. Not only do you have faith in God, He can have faith in you. Again, not only do you trust God, but God can trust you. That things won't come up in left field and knock you out. Things won't come overhead and knock you out. Things won't rise up in your family and just knock you out. But yet we can trust Him and believe in Him. That's how there's victory 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Because victory isn't governed by a thermostat, whether you're hot or cold, empty or full. Victory determines on how much you trust God. Amen. Praise God. God has blessed most of us with parents. He's blessed some of us with elders. And some of us even have ministers in your family. And friends in our lives. Friends that we can learn valuable lessons of trust from. Instruction from God's word by others along with their experiences would be a shortcut to our goal if we would only listen. Trust in a great measure can be learned through instruction. Let's look at Ephesians 1:13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. Okay, you heard the word of truth, you trusted it. The gospel of your salvation, the same gospel that gave you salvation. In whom also after that you believed. You believed in that, believe in this. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The promise is on you. God don't break His promise. Amen. Praise God. All right. Now, real quick, let's look at faith versus trust. Okay. Faith is an essential element. Amen. We've got to have faith. Amen. In coming to God, you got to have faith. In pleasing God, you got to have faith. Let's look at Hebrews 11 and 6. I want to give you a Bible for this. Amen. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. I'm going to ask you something. If we're going to come to God, we've got to believe that He is what? Can I answer that for you? That He's a counselor, that He's a lawyer, that He's a doctor, that He's a healer, that He's a professor, that He's the smartest thing living, that He's the greatest thing that ever lived. Do you get what I'm trying to say? If you believe in Him and come to Him, you've got to believe that He is whatever you need Him to be. Amen. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That is your only responsibility, is to earnestly seek Him. Don't you ever give up on seeking Him. Because the moment you give up on seeking Him is the moment you stop trusting Him. And the answer cannot come, because He is the answer. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Trust is a step beyond, and it is a deeper dimension than faith. You can believe, in other words, many can believe who cannot trust. Therefore, when their faith doesn't produce desired results, they despair. Faith was there. But that added component of trust was not there. Trust stabilizes and secures us when we don't receive what we have asked and felt we had faith for. When combined, faith and trust are very powerful allies. They come together for one purpose. That's your victory. They're not working against you. They're working for you. Amen. And when God doesn't move on faith instantly, We have to trust him, because your trust is going to give you a lot of other things that are going to go along with the faith that you believe God for. Amen. So it's stabilizing. When combined, faith and trust are just simply powerful. Trust will sustain us in what faith doesn't deliver us from at this present time. Trust sustains. Faith will deliver. But until deliverance comes, trust will keep us. Praise God. I'll tell you what trust does. Trust holds faith in a secure place. Have you got faith for your healing? I absolutely do. Why aren't you healed yet? Well, I'm trusting God for that. Amen. And you know what? I've told people before, people ask, why this, why this? I said, because it's none of my business. I prayed for people and they got healed. I pray for other people and do their funerals a few days later. And what is that? I'll tell you what that is. It's trusting God to do whatever he wants to do. You say, well, then why pray? Because my faith can move God. When? I don't know. That's none of my business. You know? And I don't even wish I was God so I can give you all the answers. I wouldn't want to be God. And sometimes some people wouldn't want me to be either. So what do? We stand and trust God. Ultimately, the answer will come and we'll know why. And then we too will become instructors for others that come along and don't understand. Do you see how it works? Amen. Praise God. Amen. So it's combined. It's put together. And trust holds faith in place. Doubt displaces faith. It totally displaces it. While trust resists and gives no place to doubt, thereby it anchors our faith in God. When our faith doesn't alter our circumstances, trust enables us to accept life as it is. And everybody shout, until. Remember, faith is the catalyst projecting and propelling you toward and into trust. When faith is remained in God, it will mature into solid, unconditional trust. Trust then keeps you from becoming bitter when your requests are not being granted. Amen. And it is something that the children of God wrestle with sometimes. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Let us thank him for our food. All right. Let's look at faith and trust in a couple of scenarios. All right. Number one, faith expects things. And that's good. That is absolutely fine. Whatever you're praying for, I want you to see it come to pass. Amen. So faith expects things. But what does trust do? Trust accepts things. Trust accepts. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about throwing a curveball in the Word of God, making it fit. I'm talking about it accepts. You sit there if you're sitting there tonight in a dilemma, it's because and you're still sitting there and you're still worshiping God. That means that you trust God to the point that you accept this until He does something to it and He does something for it. Two, faith produces change. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Trust submits to unchanged conditions. Number three, faith reaches. Trust retains. We need both of these elements in our relationship with God. Faith rushes. Amen. David said, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Man, that was faith. And he did many times and conquered his enemy. Amen. So faith rushes. Trust teaches us how to wait. Now, I've got scripture for those that wait upon the Lord. They're going to mount up with what? Wings like an eagle. Amen. Number five, faith is believing. Trust is knowing. The evangelist lays hands on you. Do you believe God can heal you tonight? Yes, I believe it. And yet God doesn't. What are we going to do? We'll get mad at God. We're going to quit. We're going to say we don't have enough faith or no. We're going to walk away knowing that God's got my healing on his mind. And if it wasn't tonight, it's going to be tomorrow night. You're rushing it. You're rushing it. You're pushing it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But just know, just because you're rushing it and pushing it doesn't mean it's going to happen on your time. So we trust God. And we hold on. We don't go anywhere because faith lets us see it and it's going to happen. But trust says, keep on walking. Keep on walking. The Bible said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Did you just hear what I said? Somebody is going to walk through that valley. And it didn't say faith was going to let you leapfrog. Just because you got faith to believe that you don't have to walk through that valley doesn't mean you're not going to. And if your faith doesn't keep you from the valley, then you have trust. Because did you catch what I said? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Did not the Bible promise us that he would keep us, that he would walk with us, and that he would see us to the other side? Amen. Amen. Trust will enable you to walk through it. Faith will eventually bring you out of it. And that's why we need trust and we need faith. Trust him. Amen. I know. That's what trust says. Faith says, I believe. And we need that. Amen. Trust is the ultimate relationship between man and God. Nothing supersedes trust. Notice from the following examples. I'm going to read some examples to you how trust kept men when faith didn't deliver them. I want you to keep in mind, there's no flaw in their faith. That's what I want you to see. The Bible does not say there was a flaw in their faith. There's nothing wrong with their faith. But coupled with their faith, they had to trust. Are you ready? I'm going to give you four quick examples. Number one, Daniel, a great man of faith. Somebody say amen. But it was trust in God that caused him to submit to being thrown to the lion's den. Look what faith and trust combined accomplished for Daniel. He had to go to the lion's den. Even though he had great faith. So when he got there, he trusted God to see him through. And when God saw him through, he came out because his faith, not a bite. Look at James, Simon Peter. One was delivered, the other was beheaded. Peter's faith coupled with that of the church delivered him. But when James was beheaded, he needed to have trust. We've got to get the mentality, ladies and gentlemen, that either way we win. I'm trying to work out the memorial service for Brother Johnny Garrison, and it looks like it's going to be Saturday at 4 o'clock. If it is not 4 o'clock, we will get on one call and let you know exactly when. I won't know until after tomorrow evening. After 5 o'clock, I will know exactly what time the memorial service is going to be. But as of right now, it's 4 o'clock Saturday. I want people that work to have time to get off work and come and be a part of the funeral. Amen. Johnny won. He won. So if he were sitting here right back there about where Brother Bobby is, Amen. And his cancer was completely gone. He won. But he died. He still won. I'll just tell you this. There ain't no cancer. And he's walking as far as he wants to walk, and he's running just as fast as he wants to run, and he's leaping just as high as he wants to leap, and he'll never be out of breath. Woo! Some preach up in here tonight. Hallelujah. Is it Sunday night? Amen. So, you know, look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You've heard it many times. Faith caused them to declare that God was able to deliver them from the fiery furnace. They had the faith going in that God could do this. Trust caused them to say, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods, neither will we worship the golden image that you have set up, because we trust our God." Paul, I want you to, and I'm going to take a few moments on this. I'm nearly done, but I'm going to take a few moments on this. Paul, his example is faith secured him in the experience of 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28. Faith secured him here. He said, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." Man, if somebody tied some of us to a post and started beating the life out of us, the first thing they would say is, "I quit. I give up. I give uncle. I was just kidding. I didn't really belong to that church. And if God's not going to deliver me from this, there's not a God anyhow." You got to the post because of your faith. Now stay on the post because of your trust. That's exactly what Paul did. Stay. He said, five times received I 40 stripes except one. Amen. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. At a night and a day have I been in the deep. Wow. In journeys, often I had trouble. In perils of waters, I've been robbed, in perils by mine own countrymen, my own brothers, my own sisters. They gave me a hard time. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, all these things coming against me physically, that which cometh upon me every day, the care of all the churches. My leadership position was important. I kept that, along with all the peril that was coming against me physically. All the enemy could throw at me, but I held on to what God gave me. I held on to what he called me. I held on to my gift. I held on to what he... Do you understand what I'm saying here? For Paul to go through what he went through took faith. But for Paul to stay with what he went through took trust. Praise God. And so he trusted. While trust caused him to pen the words of, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Praise the Lord. Amen. "I have fought a good fight." That's all I want to be able to say. How about you? "I fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Now, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." You see, he kept the first thing that he ever got, and that was his faith. "I have kept the faith." Now, he's talking to us about his trust. "There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." I know there is. "And the Lord, the righteous judge, he's going to give it to me on that day that I get there. And not to me only, but he's going to give it to all them also that love his appearing." In other words, you love His presence. You love His Spirit. You love His anointing. You love His moving. You love the way He can come in and break a yoke and tear down a stronghold. You love the way that He can heal and deliver. And you also love the way that He can keep you while you're going through it. That's what Paul was saying. Amen. Praise God. So trust never stands alone, but it stands with faith. For faith is the essential cornerstone upon which trust stands. Amen. Nothing should deter you from trusting God. Am I okay? We're not to trust in riches. We're not to trust in idols. We're not to trust in ourselves. We are to trust in God. Miracles such as the one where loaves and fishes were multiplied bring out throngs of followers. Trust follows when there are no loaves. Trust follows when there's no more fishes. And we're not seeing the miracle. Trust is unaffected by circumstances. It is the highway upon which the confident tread. Trust is a road that people that have confidence in God walk upon every day. Every day. Trust is unaffected by environment. Trust is unaffected by war. It's unaffected by peace, poverty, or prosperity, sickness or health. It's unaffected by life or death. All of life's contrasts become fuel. Everything we go through becomes fuel for trust. It requires no insight. Trust requires no... It thrives in crisis. Amen. And it demands no signs. It doesn't have to have wonders and miracles in order to be operative. Let me tell you what trust is. Trust is a quiet strength. And you're screaming at people in a silent voice when you have trust in God because they can see it in your countenance. And they read it on your expressions. Amen. But trust is quiet. It's youthful. On the inside, you're bouncing all over the place because you trust God to the point that everything's going to be all right. And if somebody says anything negative, you say, you just wait and see. You just wait and see what I'm telling you. It's going to be all right. And you could be the one going through it. It doesn't demand signs and wonders and miracles. Amen. Doesn't seek any kind of change in circumstances. It abounds in the shadows. Trust reigns in darkness. It needs no recognition. It wears no crown and it seeks no throne. It's the silent, unseen fortress of the soul of those that possess it. There's something different about an individual that trusts in his God. And you know it. Trust has no restrictions, no limitations, and it has no demands. I told you. No, trust don't do that. Well, I think you should. No, trust don't do that. Trust partner is faith. So trust is going to sit you there and give you a quiet voice and put a smile on your silly face. And faith. Eventually, it's going to see you through. But if you don't have trust, you're not going to hang long enough for faith to get done what it needs to get done. So we need to trust Him. Can you say amen? Praise God. No limitations and demands. Amen. Trust isn't limited to results. It doesn't have to see results. It just has to trust. You know what trust does? It lives without all the ifs. Well, if they would have done this. Well, if he would have said this. If she could have just done this. If I could have just prayed longer. If I could have just. If. Trust doesn't even have the word if. You know what it does? It just trusts. It is so simple. It confuses people. Well, I don't get it. Why? Well, how do you. Praise the Lord. You trust me that water's going to come out of this bottle? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Sure you did, because you saw it coming, but it didn't, because I didn't do it. I had one evangelist did, and he turned and he said, I guess he had a bug in his cup. I didn't put the bug in his cup. He turned and looked at me and he said, I don't do bugs. I looked at him and I said in my mind, I said, I don't do carpet. Enjoy your stay, buddy. Amen. You don't defile God's house just because you're upset about something. Amen. You preach to God's people. You be instant in season, out of season. Be a good thing to teach him trust. God put a bug in his water to see if he trusts it. Should have drank it, and I hope it was a stink bug. I am just kidding. I am kidding. You know that I am a kidder. Praise God. You just lost the whole message. Praise God. I want to be serious without being too serious, because I am not getting on to anybody, and I am not pointing anybody out. Do not let the devil trust God. Don't let the devil speak to you like that. Trust God. Amen. If anything, I want to build my trust and my trusting relationship with God. And as I'm building mine, I want to build yours. Amen. Wherever I go, I want to take you with me. And I want to go somewhere tonight. And I want you to go with me. Let's stand together. Amen. No restrictions, no limitations on trust, no demands. Amen. It's not predicated on our results. No ifs. There's no attachments, no amendments. Trust is, you know what, trust is, let me just tell you this, and this might help you, I hope it does, but trust is a worry treatment. Are you worried about something? Add a little more trust. Take it every 4 hours. Come back to next service. Amen. Trust is the cure to despair. You ever gotten a predicament and said, I don't know what to do? Good. Then give up. And trust God that He'll do it. Just keep worshiping. Keep praising. Keep magnifying, glorifying. Amen. Trust is the remedy to fear, anxiety. Trust is life's healer. Some of you may remember, some of you may not. There was an old song that said, it is so sweet to trust in Jesus. How many of you want that sweetness in your life? How many of you want that sweet seasoning in your life? Let's just raise our hands and just tell the Lord that tonight I will trust you more. This is you giving something to God instead of God giving something to you. Amen. Tonight I will trust you more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, I just had a crazy thought. What if I gave an altar appeal and Jesus, we know Jesus is here, but I'm talking about like Brother Brown, really here. First of all, I'd be speechless, but this is just a metaphor. What if Jesus were physically here? And I got to this point in this Bible study, and all of a sudden, he stood up and he came to the altar and buried his face in the altar. And all of us stayed where we are and didn't move. And everything got silent, totally quiet, even to the point that we could hear what he needed, because he's at the altar. He came to the altar, even to the point that we could hear what he was praying. Would his prayer be something like this? Father, if you could speak to your people and convince them to have just a little more trust in what I can do, to depend on me just a little bit more. Stop fretting, worrying obsessed with fear, doubt, and trembling. If you could move upon your people and give them and bless them with just a little more trust, I will answer from heaven and I will give them the desires of their heart. It will be my timing, and it will be from my word, and it will be according to my rules. What if we heard him pray something like that? The first thing I would want is for God, the Spirit of God, to move and to answer that prayer, because that's Jesus talking, the physical part of God talking to the spirit part of God about me. Tonight, the Word of God has cried out to all of us to trust him. Now, I wonder if we could ask God to give us just a little bit more trust. Just a tad bit more trust. Just another few inches, another foot or so, another yard or so of trust and dependency on God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See the miracle by faith and walk with God through the valley with trust. In Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, your will, your way tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Job, the epitome of trust, gave his testimony of how he felt about God. And I want us to let it be ours tonight. And this is what I close with. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. In other words, his trust is not enough. His confidence is not enough. His faith is not enough. I will maintain my own trust in him. I will maintain my own faith in him, and I will maintain my own relationship with him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If you can say that and live that, when I teach a Bible study a year from now, you'll still be out there. You'll still be out there. God bless you tonight as you're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here at Bible study this evening.